I hop out of the car. It feels like an oven. Even more so because for the past 2 weeks, I'd felt like I was living in the fridge. A couple of hours before, I was in San Francisco, wearing a scarf. It was a quick flight. And now I'm outside, in front of the iconic gateway at Paramount Studios in Hollywood. It's July, and it's really hot. But a little disco music can cool you down and pump you up. There are probably over 100 actors and writers walking the picket line, with more showing up as the morning went on. I was here to meet up with fellow Georgetown alum Adam County.
It's roughly 112, and there's a lot of people here just flop sweating.
Adam's a writer and actor. He's worked on hit TV shows like Silicon Valley and Community, among a string of others. We walked up and down Melrose, holding signs in solidarity.
I think it's important to be here just to show a constant presence, to show that this is something that we are willing to continually show up for. Because, you know, if there's not, even though nothing's happening inside these gates, really, all productions are kind of stopped, just to show a presence that this means something, that we actually have passion about it, that we're not just falling down, that's a good thing.
It felt like a family reunion. So many of the writers and actors who were striking had gone to school together, had worked on projects together. Their families knew each other, and now they were standing in solidarity with one another. For them, they're fighting an existential battle. The writers and actors are fighting for a myriad of important issues, many of which stem from advances in technology. For these strikers, it's critical to put up guardrails around the use of artificial intelligence. They believe studio executives will eventually replace them all with AI. A lot has been reported about the strikes, but now that some writers have gone back to work, nearly 5 months after the walkout, I wonder what that means for the use of AI in the entertainment industry and beyond. That's why on this episode of What Does It Profit, I speak with some of the people who have been personally impacted by this historic strike. Many of the people I met on the picket line struggled to make ends meet, and they worry about their place in an industry where AI is becoming more common. This episode gives us a glimpse of what's at stake. It's October, and after 148 days of striking, some Hollywood writers are back at work.
After nearly 5 months on the picket line, the Writers Guild says a tentative deal has now been reached to end the Hollywood strike.
It took countless hours of organizing and negotiating, and like any good Hollywood script, there were plenty of twists and turns.
We're still trying to fix a contract that was forged in 1960.
You know, everything's gone up, but our wages. You know, we're all not Tom Cruise.
Union members pushed for a proposed state law today that would allow anyone on strike to qualify for state unemployment benefits.
Eventually, though, human writers triumphed over AI, at least for now. In late September, the Writers Guild of America reached a tentative deal on a new contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. For many people, this moment was cause for celebration.
Overnight, the writer's strike reaching its final act.
Language over the use of artificial intelligence became a sticking point for the writers' negotiations. One of the big concerns writers had was that studios would use AI to pay them less for their work. The contract addresses that concern. In short, the contract stipulates that AI can't write or rewrite any scripts or treatments. It also prevents AI-generated material from being considered source material. This means it can't undermine a writer's credit. Writers aren't the only ones worried about what AI means for the entertainment industry. Actors in the union, SAG-AFTRA, continue the strike they began in July. Many of the organization's members have also voiced concerns about being replaced by AI. This is the first double strike by actors and writers since 1960. It's also one of the longest strikes in the history of the Writers Guild. SAG-AFTRA's demands exceed those of the Writers Guild. Among other things, the actors want general wage increases and boosts in compensation for streaming programs. The organization represents thousands of Hollywood actors and performers. I spoke with one of the organization's lead negotiators, Tawanda Underdew. That morning, she was headed back into negotiations.
Now is a pivotal time to change the way the industry is run. And negotiating about AI and all of the parameters around that and so many other different things is going to set a precedent for future generations. And people will look back and go, wow, I'm so glad you all had the foresight to think about what was going to happen in the future and how it's going to impact us, and we're better for it. So that's what drives me.
Tawanda's an actor, writer, and producer. You've seen her in shows like House of Cards and West Wing, among others. She says Hollywood actors and performers are pushing back against studios using AI to digitally clone them.
We're not opposed to technology. It's just that I don't want to be in a scene saying something that I personally wouldn't have said, you know, without my consent.
Ultimately, it comes down to being able to control when and how a performer's likeness can be used and how they're compensated for it.
We don't want our images stolen. We want to be able to be compensated for what they're doing with our images and, you know, not stealing them.
Tawanda says SAG-AFTRA's members won't let studios take away their right to work and earn a living.
We're hardworking people. Some of us have 3 and 4 jobs, and we just find that this is a passion that we have. This is an outlet that we have that we think that we can help the world with. And we feel fulfilled by it. And just like anyone who has a job, you want to not only be able to do what you love, but to be fairly compensated for it.
Only a small percentage of SAG-AFTRA's members can afford to make a living acting, let alone pay for basic health insurance.
86% of the membership are just trying to make health insurance. They don't even make the health insurance, which is about $26,000 a year.
And if members can't even pay for health insurance, how are they going to be able to afford rent, transportation, food? That's why Tawanda says they're demanding to get paid more residuals from streaming platforms.
In years past, you could see a commercial, and I think a lot of just regular everyday people know if the commercial comes on, every time they play it, oh, they get some money from it all, things like that, or a TV show residuals. And that was on network TV, and a lot of things have moved to streaming now, and it's not the same way anymore. There are people who get 5-cent residuals who are lead on a show, or $10, and you can't make a living off of that. So, you know, you put in all of the work and you feel like you're not being rewarded for all of the efforts that you put in and all of the years of dedication.
I like to watch the credits roll at the end of a movie or TV show to see how many people it actually takes to make one of these things. Besides the actors and writers, there are the drivers, the grips, wardrobe, makeup artists, and set designers like Blair Barnett, who I met on the picket line.
I'm starting to see that people are starting to use it and wanting to push it for actually replacing the creative human experience, which is what our craft is built on, is, you know, the beautiful minds and the beautiful artwork that people come up with themselves as human beings. And you can use technology as a tool, but you have to have that experience of a human behind it.
Blair had just flown in from the UK to support the strike. She and Tawanda understand there's a lot at stake here. AI can already resurrect dead performers and write new scripts. But do we, as an audience, want that? And what does it profit? Tawanda says the entertainment industry plays an important role in society.
no matter what we're going through in our life, we're going to turn on that radio, we're going to turn on that TV to try to get away and need a little relief from the pressures of the world. We bring to light what's going on in our society and reflect it back so that maybe we can see a different perspective of your neighbor across the street or something within yourself that you had not resolved. Maybe it'll help in that regard.
When out on the picket line this summer, I never imagined that in October, we'd still be at a standoff. The writers have a tentative deal, but nothing's been signed. All the work that the writers have done has laid the groundwork for the actors, but they too still don't have a deal, and they're still striking. We might be tempted to scoff at the importance of these strikes. I mean, most people think that the Hollywood set leads a charmed life, but most are working people, just like the rest of us. So as AI destabilizes an already precarious profession, it makes fighting about the only thing you can do. And that's why actors and writers will be out on the picket line for as long as it takes for them and us to get our Hollywood ending. What Does It Profit is a production of the Solidarity Economy Workshop at Georgetown University. The show is hosted by me, Dr. Dawn Carpenter. Jordan Gasparet is our senior producer. Our engineer and designer is Mark Bush. Special thanks to our assistant producers, Luke McFadden and Sunana Sumda. And of course, our intern, Abby Trepas. Music for What Does It Profit was composed by Nick Pennington. Support for What Does It Profit is provided by the Kalmanovitz Initiative for Labor and the Working Poor and the Capital Applied Learning Lab at Georgetown University. Additional support provided by the Joan and Ralph Lane Center for Catholic Social Thought and Ignatian Tradition at the University of San Francisco. You can learn more at whatdoesitprofitpodcast.com.